You're listening to the Full and Thriving Podcast, a place where courageous women come to break free from food obsession, heal their relationship with their body, and strive to live a life that's present, lighthearted, and meaningful. If you're listening, my wish is that this podcast serves as a catalyst that inspires you to nourish your body, nurture your mind, and energize your spirit. I'm your host, Meg McCabe, a certified life coach and eating disorder recovery coach with a PhD in having a good time. Just kidding about that last part. Anyway, thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Have you ever wondered why, when faced with stress or trauma, some people seem to instinctively fight back, others run away, and some freeze in their tracks, and then others try to smooth things over and just keep the peace? Have you ever found yourself in the middle of a meal, suddenly overwhelmed with guilt or anxiety about what you're eating, and you can't quite put a finger on why? Have you ever noticed that around certain people in your family, you shut down in moments you actually really want or need to express yourself, and changing that pattern feels nearly impossible? Well, today we are unraveling the mysteries behind these sort of scenarios, and it all begins with understanding your trauma responses and their impact on your nervous system and your relationship with food and body image. So, let's break it down. Our body and brain are masters at scanning the environment to detect clues to identify if we are safe or unsafe. Within an instant, our autonomic nervous system takes over, igniting one of two systems, either the sympathetic nervous system or the parasympathetic nervous system. The autonomic system regulates the heart rate, the muscle tone, the respiration without any voluntary control. Autonomic literally means self-governing, which makes a lot of sense because we cannot control our physiological responses to many scenarios in our environment or internally. So, due to our diversity in life experiences, genetics, upbringing with traumas, we tend to have a variety of reactions to different scenarios. In fact, two people can respond completely different to the same exact scenario. And when we feel threatened, our body ends up reacting with one of four different stress responses that you might have heard before. And these are flight, fight, freeze, or fawn. And in recovery, I see my clients oscillate between all four of these all the time. Usually there's one or two go-to responses. And in all of these moments, it's important to remind yourself that these are your body's way and your nervous system's way of surviving. These flight, fight, freeze, or fawn responses are basically your version of survival mode. And this dates back hundreds and thousands of years ago when our bodies were programmed to scan for dangerous threats in the environment, such as tigers or bears or other life-threatening predators. And when danger was detected, our bodies would react out of the need to survive. So when you feel emotionally activated or triggered due to something in your surroundings or environment, remember that this is a deeply rooted survival pattern. And when we think about anxiety, our brains become alert to everything around us, detecting and anticipating threats to keep us safe in modern day. So it's a really interesting thing because our anxiety and these stress responses were really created years ago. They were programmed into our genetics years ago to keep us safe from predators. And nowadays, we are essentially predator-free, but these automatic responses still are programmed to keep us safe. And sometimes the reactions might make us feel like we have a scary tiger in front of us, but in reality, it might just be a giant exam, or it could be a job interview, or it could be a therapy session you're nervous for. Whatever it is, it's still a form of survival. And please keep in mind that when your brain is in a starvation state and it is malnourished, your brain and body slow down. Your body is trying to conserve as much energy as possible. And with whatever energy it does have, it goes to the essential organs like the heart and the brain. So eventually, all systems slow down, such as digestion, metabolism, sex hormones stop being produced. I mean, you name it. When you're in a starvation state, you're putting so much stress on your body that it actually turns into that fight or flight response where everything just goes towards supporting your immediate survival. So all of this stress on your body sends a danger signal to your brain, which makes people in this state kind of exist in overwhelm, anxiety, and fear. So just a gentle reminder before I dive into the four stress responses, nourishment actually helps your brain relax. It helps de-stress the brain. A nourished brain decreases anxiety and helps you to not sweat the small stuff as much. And eating more food actually signals to your brain that it is in fact safe and taken care of and that it can trust you. So that's just a little caveat for anyone who has been living in a very restrictive state lately. But let's dive into the four stress responses and how I see them manifest in eating disorders. So the first response is the fight response. And this happens when a person feels unsafe and they tend to react with aggression or confrontation in the face of a threat. I mean, this is kind of my go-to response. If I feel threatened or scared, I kind of get angry and defensive and assertive and maybe even a little hostile. And it's the classic fight or flight reaction where your body is literally preparing for combat. It is an intense one, and we do not want to judge ourselves if that is the response we have. It's about building awareness around our tendency towards this response and maybe being able to navigate with less defensiveness or hostility, even though assertiveness isn't necessarily bad. So in eating disorder recovery, this sort of response can look like resistance to treatment, defensiveness about your behaviors, anger towards your loved ones who express concern, lashing out at your team. And recognizing this response is crucial because it may prevent you from seeking the help and support you need. So instead of fighting against your recovery, I suggest you try to channel this fighter energy into your well-being and towards recovery. So if you do need to unleash the inner fighter, perhaps you should just get mad at your eating disorder or the oppressive systems out there that contributed to your eating disorder, like sexism, racism, fat phobia, capitalism, you name it. So I do want to remind you that fight response and all of these responses, they are natural human responses. We just want to build awareness around these and understand why they are happening so that maybe we can notice them and redirect. It's okay to utilize this fight response to get mad at your eating disorder for everything that it's taken away from you. That's really my main suggestion here. And I also suggest approaching your anger a little bit non-judgmentally and more openly. So when you notice anger in your body and in your thoughts and in your mind, what does that feel like to you? Where do you notice that in your body? And I know that so many of us were taught that anger is wrong and anger is bad. And in fact, anger is a very healthy response to many situations. And so we don't want to judge the anger we have or push it away or avoid it. I challenge you to actually feel your emotions. And once you feel this anger, I want you to try to breathe through it and transform it so that you're not lashing out at the people you love or doing inappropriate things or picking fights or whatever it may be. So we're not going to be mad at our anger. We're just going to notice it and try to express the feelings that we have. And usually anger is a cover emotion, as they say. It's an emotion where usually there's something a lot deeper underneath. So I know that when I feel angry and I get this sense of rage and I feel my fight response come in, it's usually because I'm scared and also because I feel hurt or betrayed or protective of a loved one. So try to figure out what that deeper, more vulnerable feeling is underneath. And again, we don't want you to ever think that having the fight response is wrong. This is something you can't control. It's about being able to pause, recognize, and then take care of yourself and meet your needs, whatever they might be in that situation. So the next response is the flight response. The flight response is all about escaping or avoiding perceived danger. So when you're in that flight mode, you might feel the urge to run away from the source of stress or anxiety. And honestly, I see this a lot with folks who use excessive exercise as their unhealthy coping mechanism. They're actually feeling this need to flee the scene in their body. And so I find that this flight response is directly connected to excessive exercise as well. But anyway, essentially, you are running away from that source of stress or anxiety, and this can manifest as avoidance of important conversations or evasion of certain topics or a strong desire to escape situations. Maybe you're ditching out on some of your sessions or you're making promises you can't keep. For someone with an eating disorder, this could mean avoiding meal times or social eating events. It can also mean engaging in extreme exercise. And if you find yourself exercising excessively, again, have compassion. Know that this might be an ancient survival response. And it could also be your body's way of desperately searching for food. So now that we're becoming aware of these responses, remember, it's not your fault that you respond this way. This is your body's way of surviving. It is rooted in wisdom. However, now it is time for you to respond in a bit more of an appropriate way. So in recovery, it's important to notice when you're fleeing from difficult emotions or avoiding them or situations and find these healthier ways to cope and confront your challenges head on. So if you are a flight response person, I would say it is important to ask yourself, what am I avoiding? What am I running away from? And how can I start facing these fears? How do I be more direct and challenge myself, challenge these things head on? What in therapy have I been avoiding to talk about, right? All of these things are going to be so helpful for you if you are a flight response person. All right, everyone. So the third response is the freeze response. And this occurs when someone becomes immobilized and unable to act or think clearly. And it's characterized by a feeling of being overwhelmed, stuck, or emotionally numb. So essentially, this person shuts down. And this response can be an adaptive way to assess the situation and protect yourself by making yourself less noticeable to whatever you have perceived as a threat or whatever your brain has perceived as a threat. So I find the freeze response can be a way also of staying small, right? I know so many of us are afraid to be seen and take up space. And I find freezing ourselves is aligned with that need to stay small and unnoticed. And it can be a way of not drawing attention to yourself. And it can also be because maybe you feel so overwhelmed that you can't handle the situation and you shut down or even dissociate. And I tell you, I see this one a lot with folks with eating disorders. So the freeze response involves feeling immobilized, overwhelmed, numb, and it can actually translate in eating disorder world to feeling stuck in your eating disorder, maybe shut down in your eating disorder and unable to make progress. Maybe you made progress in the past and now you're just stuck at this certain level, unable to move forward. So recognizing this freeze response can help you understand that recovery might be stalled due to unresolved trauma. Sometimes I find when people keep hitting the same wall over and over again in their eating disorder, it's because they need to do deeper healing work with their therapist or psychiatrist or psychologist. So if you find you're constantly hitting walls or frozen in the same place, it might be time to get that therapist on board or see them more often, or maybe switch the modality that you're working with. So maybe you need more of a DBT specialist, or you need some EMDR, or maybe you need some internal family systems, whatever that is, that can maybe be the change you need to help work on that unresolved trauma. Okay. I also find that this freeze response shows up in folks with eating disorders who have trouble expressing their opinions and emotions, especially to others. And that can be really challenging. I've seen clients shut down sometimes in sessions because I challenge them to a homework assignment that they might not be ready for. And then they shut down and they don't express their feelings or their opinions. And it's something I can sense. And then we just recalibrate and find something that they're more able to access. But sometimes I will get messages after the fact just saying, hey, like I was overwhelmed and don't know if I can do this assignment this week, or I think we need to change the plan. And I'm always open to that, right? And so I want these folks who tend to freeze to find their voice. I want the folks who freeze to speak up and express themselves. And I also want you to do some unpacking and ask yourself, am I super overwhelmed? What tends to overwhelm me? Is there something I can take off my plate? It might even be important to basically pretend you're a detective and just observe and look for the signs that you have shut down. Maybe you're not quite aware that it's happening when it's happening. So when you observe this and notice, okay, how do I feel in my body when I'm shut down? Am I moving or am I not moving? What does my body language say? Does my voice sound like anything? What are my thoughts saying? And noticing and recognizing how that freeze response looks like for you could be really helpful in identifying, hey, this is what I'm doing. And Meg reminds me that when I notice this, I can take care of myself, maybe bring myself to a more grounded place, and ask myself, what can I express right now to help me get through this situation? What can I share with someone else? Maybe it's asking for help. Maybe it's setting a boundary. Maybe it's expressing an opinion or expressing your truth. So, all right, that is number three. The fourth and final stress response that I find really interesting, and I didn't even know about this one for the longest time. And this is the fawn response. And the fawn response is essentially human feeling stress and threatened and basically seeking safety by seeking approval from others and appeasing others and people pleasing. So when you feel overwhelmed or stressed, do you just go into people-pleasing mode? So in this response, you will be inclined to people-please, to accommodate, and to really yield to others, even if it's against your own needs and boundaries, because you want to avoid conflict at all costs. And it's a way of trying to avoid conflict and also ensure acceptance, because according to your brains, survival is linked to social acceptance. So people-pleasing is rooted in so much wisdom in that way, right? In order to survive, I must belong. And so the fawn has mastered seeking approval from others by people-pleasing. However, the dark side to this is they have completely disowned themselves and their opinions and their needs. I used to do this all the time. And in eating disorder recovery, this can manifest as people-pleasing with your team a lot of the time, or people-pleasing with the people who care about you. So I see this as agreeing to treatment plans or homework assignments that you're not comfortable with and not expressing that. It might be trying to be the perfect recovery student. So you're going, achieving all these recovery goals without pausing to express the difficult sides or even acknowledge your humanness and recognize you are not superhuman and recovery is actually a very messy process. And it can also look like not processing emotions or disowning your needs around the treatment you're receiving. So that can sometimes backfire. So again, that looks like making promises that deep down are causing you panic, stress, fear, without expressing it. So you disown all of these very valid emotions to just look good for your team. And that can get you pretty far, like as far as reaching goals, but emotionally, you're not doing the work. So again, eating disorder recovery is such an emotional process, and it is a process where you have to learn to sit and feel emotions. So I find if you're fawning your way through treatment, it often backfires because you're not sitting and feeling the feelings and sitting with the discomfort or expressing that to people. So recognizing this response can empower you to assert your own needs and boundaries in recovery and ensuring that the process you're going through aligns with your authentic self. So essentially, instead of lying and telling everyone, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, how about you express your fear? How about you express the intimidation that you feel or the anxiety that you feel? And if you need to pick a plan that's more aligned with something that's achievable for you, take a half step instead of a full step forward. People with this response need to remember that a lot of healing can come from realizing that your opinions matter and your boundaries matter, and it's okay to say no. No is a neutral word. It's impossible to please everyone, and you will feel and be so much better off when you can honestly communicate with your team, your boundaries, and how you're feeling. And because of that, you won't be forcing yourself into uncomfortable situations just to avoid conflict or confrontation. So if you are that fawn response person, I just want you to have compassion for the part of you that wants to be accepted, right? And wants to be seen as hardworking or a team player. And just know that your team is there for you. They want honesty over perfection, and they want authentic mess over clean lines, right? So take that in, and I hope that helps you just reflect on the small changes you might be able to make going forward. Okay, so there you have it. Those are the four stress responses. We have fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And these are examples of how you might respond to stressful or triggering situations. And by that, I mean your brain responds And your brain interprets the environment and then sends a signal to your nervous system to respond in one of these four ways. So it is not a conscious choice that is made by you. It is a survival response. And these responses were designed by nature on a physiological level to help you through threats and danger. And as someone with an eating disorder, it is important to bring yourself out of a stressful or activated state through the use of coping skills or self-care or various grounding techniques. And I have plenty of episodes where we talk about those topics. So please go unbury those from the archives. You can also talk to your therapists and your coaches about different coping skills, self-care, and grounding techniques. There are also ways, and this is kind of the cool part, there are ways that you can leverage the brain-body connection and the power of physiology to signal to your brain that you are, in fact, safe in that moment and not being chased by a tiger. So I challenge you to practice switching on your internal safety system by actually utilizing the awareness you've built and leaning on that brain-body connection. So for instance, you could practice, and I was doing some research looking at how to utilize the brain-body connection to signal to your brain that you're back in a safe place. And it sounds really funny, but while I'm sharing them, I want you to try these out, even just while I talk about them. So the first one would be exaggerated facial expressions or just moving your facial muscles around. I'm literally doing it right now. And I'm telling you, when I just move my face around, I'm feeling a lot of tension being released. And it actually feels really good. And I feel my state feel a little lighter. I almost feel like I let go of some tension just doing that. So it could be big smile, wide eyes, wrinkling of the nose, moving around the jaw. You could also change your body language. So you could stand up straight or sit back straight, roll your shoulders back. You could stretch both arms towards the sky to feel more powerful. You could either clench a fist and release that fist in the sky, or you can have your palms wide open and turn them to face the sky. You can do so many things to break yourself out of a negative state. Another one I read, which I thought was amazing, was you could practice wagging your eyebrows. And you're probably asking, what's wagging your eyebrows, Meg? Well, I didn't know either, but that's just when you move your eyebrows up and down, kind of like, you know, when you look at someone and you're like, hey, hey, like, check that out. And you just raise your eyebrows. I barely ever do that. I'm literally cracking up because I think this is just a funny expression. But you could wag your eyebrows up and down. You could wiggle your nose. And then, of course, there are the more classic grounding techniques like intentionally slowing down your breathing or slowing down your speech. You could also intentionally engage your five senses with things that you associate with pleasure, such as turning on your favorite song or lighting a scented candle or wrapping yourself up in a weighted blanket or something really snuggly. And even though we cannot control how our body responds when it detects a threat, I'm sharing all of this with you today because we have the power to reverse the situation and signal to our body that it is, in fact, safe. So I challenge you to practice those things. Ask yourself, how can I signal to my body when I feel activated or triggered that it is safe again? And of course, one way to do that today is also just giving your body the food it needs to let its brain be more nourished and more relaxed. So there you have it, lovely humans. That is what I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening to Full and Thriving. I really appreciate all of you here, and I'll catch you next time. Thank you.
All right, that concludes this week's episode of the Full and Thriving podcast.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the show. When you have a moment, please head on over to Instagram and follow my recovery coaching account at Meg_McCabe to stay up to date on everything I'm doing in recovery land. And if you're feeling extra inspired, please send me a direct message to let me know how this podcast has impacted your life. I'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week.